Welcome back, everybody, to the ultimate edition of podcasting for Magic Finance. Oh, I thought that was good. We're like the ultimate podcast of Magic Finance. What do you think? Like the last one.
We opened the last one. The last episode with an F-bomb. So that probably takes away from our ultimate status. Also, you making that joke removes ultimate status.
It wasn't a joke.
It was a
joke.
A pun based on.
Whoa.
I'm podcasting from the road this
week. You're podcasting from the toilet.
You're podcasting from the toilet.
No, I finished with that. Now I'm sitting in bed podcasting, man. Come on.
Oh, I hope you wiped.
Who says that to somebody?
Someone who I say it to my 2-year-old all the time, and I feel like I need to say it to you also.
You think Corbin You think Corbin would miss an opportunity to actually use toilet paper for once in his life? He's in a hotel.
Dang.
No,
there's
fig
a little,
leaves here.
Here's a little hole over in the countertop, and you press the lever, and water comes out.
There must be a little boy down there.
I stayed in a Days Inn over the weekend, which was not nice, and I booked it, and it was the second cheapest hotel on the Hotwire that I booked. And then I got to the staff hotel for the Pro Tour, and I did take a picture to show people how nice it was. So you're not entirely wrong that I was.
Why would you stay in the second cheapest hotel?
Do what?
It's not nicer than the cheapest hotel. Sometimes it's worse.
Maybe, man. I thought it was a little safer than just like the actual cheapest, but it was like $60 a night.
Was it a Motel 6 or something? Jesus.
No, it was a day. It was next to the Motel 6. It was a Days Inn.
He did say it was a Days Inn.
Yeah, you got to get the value, man. You got to get the value when you're on the road. Just like the 13 hours I spent traveling on Friday.
Do they not pay you for your travel?
I got all my money's worth. Well, I don't know what you mean by that.
Like, do they not pay you to stay there? And
yeah, I get a stipend.
I'm cracking my beer. I need that.
You do need that. I get a stipend. Yeah, that's fair.
Ooh. Man, I smell that already.
Like,
how long's yours been sitting, Rob?
You can stay in a cardboard box and keep your stipend, but it's not worth it.
Ooh, that's hot.
I booked my hotel like 2 days before the GP because I procrastinated. So I don't know, man. Desperate times. Anyways,
Costler,
I know that's what people came to the cast for. Let's talk Ultimate Masters. That's obviously what everyone wants to hear us talk about. It's what we've all been talking about it all day on social media and telling people what's up and getting blocked by people and arguing with people
today.
And educating people.
I had 8 strokes today.
Whew, that's a lot of strokes, DJ. Like, well,
what are you, Clarence Carter?
I'm impressed, man. I usually only make it like 2 strokes and then I'm done.
You know, nobody's going to touch that
you
one.
Know that, you know that was funny. Come on.
No one's going to...
No one's going to touch that.
You know that was
kind of like Corbin's actual troll dick. No one's going to touch that one.
I can't... If Jason made that joke, y'all would have been dying. That was a great joke.
Because he's funnier than you.
I agree with that.
Yeah. I'm funnier, therefore I get to make the exact same joke and get a better response. Those are the rules of comedy.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Anyway, so let's start at the top. Ultimate Masters, it's like $350 MSRP a box or something.
This set is like one of the best things to happen to Magic in the past 5 years, and anybody who says otherwise is wrong.
Whew.
Or they're just trying to drive people to their YouTube videos.
Or they're just trying to drive me to a blood clot in my brain.
See, I think that you're right about it being good for Magic, and you're wrong about people's motivations. I think that people fundamentally don't understand the way the secondary market works with these things, and I think that it's our job to educate them. But I don't think that it's disingenuous necessarily.
There's one downside with this entire set in the past week. There's one.
Okay, what's that?
And it's not even like a downside that affects a large number of the population. It's just like one awkward thing that happened to screw us over as a vendor at GP Atlanta.
Okay.
So, like, the way that the cards were previewed en masse, like, 0 cards being previewed Friday morning, all of them being previewed Sunday night, means that,
yeah, that
throughout the entire GP, every single time a card was previewed as one of the mythic, not mythic, but, like, box topper thingies.
Box
yeah.
toppers. Yep.
So none of us knew what that meant. It could have been a mythic masterpiece thing where they're not available. It could have been a buy a box thing, which it is, but like none of us know. So every time one of those is like, oh, Caracas is in the thing, Micaeus is in the thing, it just gets cut from our bio list and we just can't buy it anymore for risk of losing a ton of money. So, like, it's awkward for the players who are, like, bringing that card up and being like, I want to sell my EE. We're like, no. And no vendor in the room is touching it. So, it's just kind of awkward. But everything else about this set is fuego.
Before we go any further, Rob, we forgot to introduce you because you just used to be. We're just used to having you on at this point. So, oh, everybody, sweet. Welcome to Rob.
Hi. Is this his second time on?
Second or third, but at least my fourth attempt.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know about how many times he's actually made it to the final podcast. Do I know how many times I've gotten a Skype call with him? Quite a few. Welcome on. Rob is a patron of the show, so he's going to be guesting this week, and he picked a good week to guest.
I mean, picked
his... Yeah, a lot of stuff going on.
Fate picked it.
Yeah, well, at least I didn't have to follow Gavin, so...
Yeah, this is my first episode back since the Gavin episode. I was really proud of that episode for us as a podcast. I think it was one of the better things that we've done in a long time. So everyone who listened and shared, that's entirely because
of our camaraderie and just the way me and Jason did that. Like, none of that episode credit should be given to you or Gavin at all. It was all just me and Jason.
I mean, I wrote the questions, yeah. And we, Corbin...
And I got Gavin on the cast.
Corbin just kind of read them.
I got
them.
Gavin on the cast.
Yeah. So what did you do, exactly, yep. Corbin?
Yeah. You guys are, you're in the back of the bus just taking credit for driving the bus. You're like, I poured the gas in the gas tank. You couldn't go anywhere without me. Somebody's got to drive, man.
That's true. You did tell us what order to ask him the questions I wrote in, and it ended up being the order I wrote them. So, to drive the bus.
I asked multiple questions myself. Get out of here. Anyway, so I'm going to hit you guys with some stats real quick from Ultimate Masters. It releases December 7th, 2018. That's
all the intro my man gets?
Yep.
We got a lot to talk about this week.
He's a special guest. He has his own special guest. You want to talk about your special guest, Rob?
Yeah, it's a 120-minute Dogfish Head IPA.
What a coincidence. I'm drinking a 120-minute Dogfish IPA. And I was going to drink a bomber of CBS, and then I was like, maybe I don't need a whole liter of 12% beer on this podcast.
I mean, I'm glad you talked me out of it. All ready to go, so...
We'll do Founders next time you're on here. How about that?
Sweet.
There you go.
The second wave of 2018 Founders CBS is out there, and I'm not going to get you any. Sorry.
That's okay. I'm still getting Barrel Runner from the local stores, so they've got so much of it, and I am drinking all of it.
Yeah, I filled up my fridge with Barrel Runner, too. If you don't get Founders where you live, I'm sorry. They're crushing it with their Barrel Age series. They buy bourbon barrels on the cheap, and then they use them to flavor all kinds of different beer. And some of them suck. And then sometimes they take a boring ale and age it in rum barrels, and it's the shit. So,
I do enjoy bourbon barrel beer. It's the first time I had some like 5 years ago, I thought it was disgusting. And the last couple of years, I started trying it again. Like since I expanded my beer palate, and it's been much more enjoyable.
This 120 has been chilling for about a year. I have one in there that's been chilling for 2 years. I don't want to crack that one. So
it's nice, man. How old is this one?
It ages real well.
No, it doesn't say. I think this is this year's. So.
All right. Let's. You guys ready to talk magic?
I'm ready to yell
We're
going
to have to dive into
Do
it sooner.
Do I get to yell at more
All
people
right.
on Twitter?
You will. Give me a second, and then I will turn you loose, man. All right. So the set releases a month from now.
So if you have a good beer like Dogfish Head 120-minute IPA and you'd like to drink it out of this handsome drinking glass like the one I'm holding here, just go to patreon.com/brainstormbrewery and pledge to give us a mere $20 a month, which works out to $4 or $5 an episode. That goes a long way towards getting Corbin a microphone so he can take a dump while he podcasts on the road and getting us new guests to come on the podcast and the... incredible amount of shipping it's going to cost to reimburse everybody that bought one of those terrible t-shirts I designed.
Oh, Jason, that reminds me. I had a couple come up to me at the GP and tell me to give you shit about not shipping the glasses because this poor girl was considering buying glasses from the Brainstorm Brewery store for her significant other for his birthday, but she was a bit concerned about whether or not they would get there before early December, so...
ones that people buy through the store, I will ship out that day.
Yeah, that sounds
I love
awesome.
My
that sounds
Aimstorm
so nice.
Brewery glass. It's great.
So, if that couple is listening to the podcast,
Rob, I'll
right
give
now,
you new glasses in person, man. Just come by the
if
house.
That couple was listening right. to the podcast. It was a pleasure to meet you, and I did my due diligence by you. So
you did it.
Yeah, and if you're listening, yeah, if you buy them from the store, and you go, oh shit, it's $5 shipping per glass. Whatever, my significant other's worth it. I will ship them out that day.
Yeah, that's great.
Everybody else, you're gonna have to wait a little bit, especially if you got the bad glasses within the last couple months.
That is a very nice Christmas gift.
But look at me. I'm reaching down next to me. This is a box that contains a glass. I have 96 of them out of the 288 boxed so far. That's what I do. Should be upstairs reading my daughter a story before she goes to bed. Instead, I'm down here boxing up glasses for UA holes.
What a bro. That was a good punctuation there. Also describes most people's feelings about Ultimate Masters.
Now we can talk magic if
all
you'd
right,
like.
Great. All right. So Ultimate Masters, guys. That's a thing. $335 per box. But this is the interesting part. You can also buy them in three-pack blister packs at big box stores for $35.99 per three. So
those are going to get the titty shit shoplifted out of them, I would think.
Probably.
Yeah. But that is only $280 for the 24. So
right.
But you don't get the box topper.
Right. So that's the thing, and that was the first thing I wanted to talk about here is that. There's a lot we're going to get into. Let's start with that we've already seen some boxes sell on eBay pre-sale for under $300. We know that I think you said $280 if you were to buy 24 in the blister packs. You don't get the box topper. So what that means is the box topper is not necessarily free value. In fact, it's not at all. It basically adds – it's being priced at, you know, around $50 per box. Now – some of them are clearly going to be worth far more than that. Some of them are probably going to be worth less. You know,
some of them are a lava claw reaches.
Right. You know, or yeah, or your kitchen finks or whatever, right? They're probably going to be
I'll pay $50 for that kitchen finks. That kitchen finks is awesome.
I mean, maybe it will be $50, but
remember the people that were bitching about the Ornithopter masterpiece and now that's like $100 and a lot of them are $40.
Right.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of people that play Finks in Legacy. I mean, and Modern. That card's
yeah.
Got
I mean, I have F&M promos of it, which is really cool. But I love the new art as well. The card's awesome. So the thing is, if the average value of the box topper is over $50, then you are getting better EV on buying a box from your LGS, which I believe the boxes. The blister packs are going to be at big box stores, and the boxes are just at LGSs. Is that true?
That's what I heard.
Okay.
Yeah.
So honestly,
also, these aren't the box toppers aren't a thing being sent separately to your LGS.
Right.
They are sealed physically inside the box.
Right. So I'll say up front that one of the concerns I had before we knew any specifics about this, and we just saw the previews of the box toppers, is what it would be because Wizards has, you know, people want to talk about taking the Wizards just kind of. Hurting LGSs and all this different stuff. And I will admit I was a little concerned that after the fact they were being sent to people who interacted with the Hasbro toy shop, that these box toppers were going to somehow be related to that. So I'm very happy to see that they're in the boxes and not any other kind of thing. So it does seem good to me. It seems to get people into the store. And if the average value of one of those is $50 or more, you're going to get a better value buying a box than you will a blister pack. So with that said, all the promos we've seen are insane. The cards we know in the set are absolutely insane. It blows any other master set out of the water, and we have the accompanying increase in MSRP, which people are understandably very upset about. So I think one of the most important things we want to do on this cast is take this from the position of us who have been in this market for forever at this point and know how this stuff works and have an understanding of the back end of the economics on these things that maybe a lot of people don't. So DJ or Jason, do you want to just go ahead and take that and explain in a nutshell how the MSRP of the box corresponds to the EV of the box and what it means for people?
Hey, DJ's the dong layer expert, so you can go ahead and take
okay,
this one.
Go ahead, DJ.
Okay, so I have been fighting a crusade on Twitter today trying to explain to people in sometimes less than nice terms that single prices from this set will drop. I think there have been a lot of arguments and a lot of misconceptions that because the box price is so high, people think that players will not purchase the box, and that will leave them sitting on shelves, and that will leave the cards not being opened, and that leads to Liliana dropping $10 or not dropping at all. That leads to Reanimate. That leads to Through the Breach just not even dropping at all. And that is incorrect. Over the past 5 to 10 years, we've had several master sets, and every single time, we've had two increases of MSRP. The first was for MMA, where it went from $4 packs to like $7 a pack, and people raged about that. Modern Masters as a set dropped prices overall. Divinity of Pride crashed from 10 to 2. Engineer Explosives, a lot of other cards crashed. Doubling Season got destroyed. A lot of prices fell. There was the Scapegoat, the
Tarmogoyf.
Yeah, the Tarmogoyf, the Straw Man or whatever you want to call it. Tarmogoyf.
Straw Man's, I think, yeah. They're right.
Well, and Tarmogoyf was in a pretty unique position because a lot of MMA was opened at GP Vegas, and dealers, everybody opened a Goyf just took it to the dealer because they were paying 90% of
dealers had them from the first.
Yeah.
So let's talk about
follow up to that is we saw MSRP increase again with MM 2015. It went from 7 for Masters Pack, which everybody had sort of like, sure, whatever. This set's got a ton of good cards. It went from 7 to 10. And that was viewed as this extreme, oh my God, nobody's going to spend $240 in a box. Nobody's going to pay that much just for this chance at a Kiki Jiki, always dust box. This is ridiculous. And spoiler alert, a lot of people bought those boxes, and a lot of card prices crashed because of it. While the Mythics didn't necessarily get destroyed, it's not like we saw Tarmogoyf go from like 150 to 70. We saw Noble Hierarch get cut in half. That card was 70, then it was 35 for 6 months. We saw a ton of other Eldrazi. We saw a lot of cards just get destroyed. Splinter Twin, Ivu, get like just a lot of MM15 cards just got crushed in prices. Wiltleaf Liege, Fulminator Mage.
Yeah. And what happened was they met their stated goal, which wasn't let's crash prices. There was let's increase card availability. Yes. For a ton of those reprints, they put thousands more Tarmogoyfs into the market and the price didn't go down that much. But like these people had a chance to buy Tarmogoyf for $7
and the overarching belief by a lot of players was that I'm not going to pay that much for a box, therefore I will extrapolate my own viewpoint and sort of expect nobody else to pay that much for a box. But people will spend money on these boxes. I'm actually really curious as to what the breaking point is, because I don't think this is it. I think you can make a master set with $20 booster packs and people would still sell out. And as long as the hype is there,
if it's justified,
as long as the cards are there to justify the hype, if it's full of Jaces and Snaps and Lilies and back to basics and like all these absurd cards, people will pay that. The most expensive MSRP product before this was the Mythic Guild Edition, and everybody knew it would sell out. It was limited. It was hyped. It was like, oh, this is $250 for a bunch of packs and then 8 cards. But we all knew it would sell out. And this is going to be very similar. People, there will be whales who are like, I'm going to drop $5,000 on this. This is great. I want all these cards. And there will be gamblers. There will be people who knowingly accept that risk and say, I might open garbage. I might open $500, but I want to spin the Wheel of Fortune. And as a player, as somebody who doesn't want to spend $14, $15 on a booster pack, if you are somebody who wants to put together a modern deck, you're waiting for that Cavern reprint, you're waiting for that Reanimate reprint, you're waiting for that Demonic Creed reprint, if you're in that position and you were considering buying a box, but now you are priced out of it at that 40% increase, it is in your best interest for you to let those whales and let those gamblers take that hit for you. Let the vendors do their thing, let them process and buy the boxes at distributor cost, sort the cards, process them, list them, undercut each other. And then as a player, you are the beneficiary of all of these cheaper prices. You are the one who is winning when everybody undercuts each other in Noble Hierarch, and then it goes from the 70 it's at now to the 35 it will be 2 months from now. And that's where you win on the singles prices for these cards, because there are a lot of cards in this set that are worth money, and it's just like a normal set with like Guilds of Ravnica, like Dominaria. Not every card in this set can sustain that price point. You can't just have a set with an MSRP of 14, and you can't just have the expected value of a booster box be 20, because then that will just number crunch wrong, and the
Right.
The economics of that equalize out. So you're going to see cheaper loans.
That's the point. Yeah, that's the point I think a lot of people maybe don't understand. And in brief, what it means is this. With the first Modern Master set, the MSRP was whatever it was, $7 a pack.
It was $7. The first MMR was $7.
Yeah, that's what I understand. So whatever the box price was, right, is whatever. 7 times 24, okay? So that's your MSRP of a box. The value of the cards, the expected value out of one of those boxes, it was because it was a limited run, were higher than that. It was, you know, the peak of people jumping into Modern. People just wanted it, and there wasn't enough product out there.
Nobody paid $7 a pack for that box either. Like,
the MSRP was $7,
I guess my store sold them at MSRP. I think most of the stores in my area did. Not everyone will. Some will. I understand that. But so here's the thing. What happened there is what you're saying. No one paid that for outside of a few lucky people who had an LGS, and those supplies lasted for, you know, 3 days or whatever. But what happened is that because the value was so much more than the MSRP, if stores tried to be honest and sell at the MSRP, people would just buy the boxes from them and flip them themselves. So then stores jack up the price to meet the value, or they just cracked it for the singles, right? So it didn't actually matter what the MSRP of the box was because people were selling it for more because that's what the value of the cards equaled. And that was not what Wizards wanted because they don't want dealers cracking the boxes to put the singles onto the market. They want players to buy the product. That's the whole point, right? So with the next one, they corrected. They increased the price and they kept the EV about the same. And it led to a situation where Modern Masters 2015, I think, was pretty reasonable, right? It accomplished its goals. People were upset about the MSRM piece, but you know, it kind of equaled out, right? 2017, I think, was really good. Eternal Masters, I think, was pretty good. But you'll notice that
2017
on all
was
of
the
these
best
sets,
master set to date.
Yeah, and it was insane.
Yeah, and this set is better than that one.
Right. Right. So what happened is when those sets released, and I'm including the two bad ones, Masters 25 and Iconic Masters. Even when they released,
Iconic is starting to look better now.
Iconic is really good.
It looks pretty good now.
It had a lot of $6 EDH cards that it smashed, but those are all recovering. So even though the big stuff isn't like recovering as much, you got a bunch of austere commands that you bought at $2 and you get $7
for. Box still looks like a steal on
right,
it for the
I,
most
I
part.
I agree. So
there's so many cards you had a chance to get for $1 or $2, and then they're going to be $7 again. You'd be like, when did that happen?
So the thing is, when they released
it's the
these
12th
sets,
most played white card in EDH. Who knew?
Yeah, they've done a really good job of making the MSRP equal the value, the expected value of the box, at least on release week. And what that means is players are actually getting those boxes for what they cost. So the sets that did bad, the MSRP didn't matter. Stores sold them for cheaper, right? Because the market ultimately wins out, and that's why you have boxes of those still floating around.
And
now the problem in the past, has been not all expensive cards are created equal.
Yeah.
Some expensive cards like Tarmogoyf or Snapcaster or Liliana or whatever are expensive because of play, and those are always just going to rebound. They're just going to. But a lot of cards that if your expensive cards in a set so that the EV matches the MSRP on release week are cards that are only expensive due to scarcity, like Recruiter or whatever, then that's just it's just not going to work out, right? Because those didn't have the demand propping it up. And that's how you get a master set that fails.
Yeah, when you get your chase card to be mana drain and Imperial Recruiter, those are cards that were only expensive because of this extremely, extremely limited print run from 20 years ago.
Right.
And then the price crashes because the demand isn't there to soak up the value. So then you're
right.
Wizards.
They should only put P3K cards in FTV sets.
Wizards.
Yeah.
So
the thing is, Wizards has this. It's this balancing act that they have to do where if you juice the set too much for a lower MSRP like you did with Modern Masters, then it's not going to do what you want it to. It's not going to get to players. It's just going to get cracked by vendors. And that's not what anybody wants, right? But if you go too far the other way where you either put too little value in there or the value comes in bad cards, then it's just going to tank after release, and that's going to leave people upset as well. So flash forward to now with Ultimate Masters, they can either – all of this is removed if they just printed it into the ground, the market would equalize. But they're not going
to
do that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, shout out to the one guy on Twitter who said this should be sold at $3 a pack. Great economic theory. Wonderful.
Well, the thing is, if it would equalize if they just printed it forever, but they're not going to do that because they have reprint equity. They want to sell more cards in the future. They don't want to sell all the Ultimate Masters in the world and then never sell
anything.
They
also don't
want to
bend over the guy who just dropped four Cavern of Souls and four Hierarchs into his Humans deck. Like, you lose consumer confidence if the guy who just bought four Caverns and four Hierarchs has the value of those cards drop by 80%. It's less of a knockout punch if you're like, man, I just bought Caverns, but at least they only dropped $15 a piece.
So,
and you wonder if some of these people have never been in franchises. Like, you never had a card?
Yeah.
Well, like, if you're arguing from positions like, I own nothing, therefore it's only downside for me to pay more than $3 for a pack.
So then we get to Ultimate Masters here, and they, for probably because the last two Master sets haven't sold well, which you can argue because they were bad, they've at least announced that they're not going to be doing this for the foreseeable future. So they're trying to blow it out with Ultimate Masters. So how they're in this position where they recognize that maybe they went too far the wrong way with the last couple, but they are very cognizant of the problem they had with Modern Masters 1. So if they want to juice this set with all these incredible cards that we've seen, what can you do? The only way you have three options. You either raise the MSRP so that the MSRP is at least equitable with the EV of the box, or you make it so that the EV is much higher than the MSRP, and that's going to lead to the same problems Modern Masters 1 has, or you decide to put it into Oblivion. And I know that's what Magic players want, but you just have to understand, just Wizards isn't going to do that. That's just not an option. That's not how the company works.
Because they printed Chronicles into Oblivion.
Right. They literally have a financial responsibility, a legal responsibility to their shareholders to maximize money as a business and to make smart decisions as a business. And that means that they can't just be like, how do we sell the most Ultimate Masters in the world? How do I sell the most Magic cards in the next 5 years?
If they wanted this to be a cash grab, which is the two most common words I've seen on the internet today.
I muted cash grab as a phrase on Twitter today.
If they wanted this to be a
dipshits.
Cash grab, it would have been like $7 or $8 a pack, and it would have done horrible things to the market.
And they would have printed it forever. And it would have made cards cheaper like Players One, and Wizards would have made a lot of money, but it sure wouldn't look very good for Wizards a year from now or 3 months from now or whatever, right? They have to sell Magic cards every 3 months. That means they have to hoard reprint equity. That is just the reality of the economic
model. You guys
model.
Heard the Gavin episode, listeners. You listen to what Gavin said. They're not trying to fuck things up.
Yeah, so
they just want to get cards in players' hands. They want to make their products
attractive. So there's all these things here, and you just can't. You just can't please everyone. So was this the right – is a high-value set that has a giant MSRP better for the game overall than a lower-value set that has a lower pack price?
Spoiler alert,
I don't know
absolutely.
The answer to that.
Yes.
I agree with DJ.
As a vendor,
I mean, I think
as
so
somebody
too.
Who is behind the booth and wants to see more of these cards come across my buy mat and put more of these cards out and actually sell them, this set, again, like I said earlier, best thing to happen to Magic in 5 years.
Right.
Do you want to know how many ancient tombs we've sold in the case in the past few months? It's not a lot. Do you want to know how many ancient tombs I'm going to sell 2 months from now? Significantly.
If they're $45?
Significantly
more.
And I just think people don't understand that basic reality that they can't make an MSRP $150 box and pack it with this stuff because it just won't work. It just players will not ever be able to get them. The stores are going to jack up the price anyways, or they're just going to take them and crack them for singles, and it's not going to get what you want. So what I see most often players complain about or talk about with Master Sets isn't, hey, I want to be able to afford to draft it, which is what you could get with a $7 pack. They say, I want the price of singles to come down. And it is my belief, and I think it is backed up by the economics of all of this, that a high price set like this, like DJ said, you let other people put the money out up front. This is going to result in more reprints, more of these cards out there than any other set could just because of the basic economics of it. And it is my opinion that for the average player who just wants to finish their Humans deck, this is going to allow you to do that for cheaper than something else will. No, you might not be able to spend $350 to buy a box of Ultimate Masters. I get that, and I sympathize if that's what you want. But it's just the way it works. You can't have it both ways, given the business model Wizards of the Coast has employed for 25 years. And they've, that's, you know, if people want them to do something, if they want them to just print this into the ground and make and bring everything down and all of that stuff, that's fine. You're allowed to want that. But Wizards of the Coast has never given you any indication that they would ever do something like that because they've operated under the same business model for 25 years and it isn't changing. So I just think you, people are allowed to think whatever they want. They're allowed to have whatever opinion. I'm not even going to tell them that they're wrong.
I will.
You're allowed to be upset. That's fine. But like, you're allowed to be upset that you can't buy a booster box of this because it's really expensive, right? I get that. That is a reasonable complaint to have. That said, this is just going to do what you want it to do in terms of getting the price of the singles down. And it's just kind of the way it has to be. And there's going to be benefits to it and there's going to be downsides to it. Fewer people are going to be able to buy boxes and draft this. But you know what? Singles prices should come down a little more.
Yeah, well, it'll trickle down, too. I mean, like, so I don't think that the box toppers are going to be quite as rare as people think they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're, like, people that want to bling out their decks, like, if you want four of the new Through the Breach and four of the new whatever in your deck, you're going to put those four Through the Breach back into circulation because why would you keep eight Through the Breaches when you've already blinged your deck out?
You're gonna free up the non masterpiece copies, is what you're saying.
Yeah, there's gonna be a lot of stuff coming into circulation after this stuff gets open. And actually, I was hoping to have a box topper from the disaster that was the Mythic Edition sale, and I was hoping I would have it in my hands today, so maybe I could open it on the cast, but it didn't come today. So.
Oh well, oh, hey, sweet. Hey, my buddy Burke got one. He got the third worst card to get in the whole set.
What was it?
Raging Ravine.
Nice. Ooh, our editor, yeah. JJ,
you don't want Lava Claw Reaches, and you don't want Stirring Wildwood, but you also don't really want Raging Ravine.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be coming in FedEx is supposed to be delivering
worse than
tomorrow,
Raging Ravine.
So.
I think Tasker is worse than Raging Ravine, too.
Yeah, but Tasker can at least be somebody's sexy
sweet.
Commander.
The new art doesn't have bananas. It's strictly worse.
You could get it altered. Have someone draw a banana because he's, like, pointing to his crotch with that whip. He's like DJ.
I consider the new Tasker unplayable because it has no bananas.
He has no bananas today?
You're going to say, I play the Banana King, and then people are going to be like, what the fuck are you talking about? There's clearly no bananas.
No, people are going to say, I play the Banana King, and then you're going to be like, well, I play Merfolk, that card's unbeatable.
And then you're going to be like, hey, I live in Oklahoma, our state vegetable's a banana.
It's a watermelon, get it right.
Oh yeah, I'm the one who needs to get it right. So can you guys, Rob used the phrase trickle down. Can you guys address the complaint that trickle down is like saying the prices will go down as a result of people buying these boxes at full prices, the Reaganomics trickle down theory of MTG. Can we address that point that I'm not going to single anybody out has made?
Anyway, so the thing is, I mean, at the end of the day...
No, we're not going to address
that,
I guess.
We're going to let it go.
We're just going to laugh at it. That's cool.
Let it go, man.
That's what that deserves, I guess.
at the end of the day...
I mean, it's a thing that happens.
At the end of the day, this is going to... It's going to put more copies of expensive cards into the market than any Master set has done previously. Maybe those cards hitting the market will come more disproportionately from the hands of vendors or... whales, as DJ put it, than it will the average FNM player. But at the end of the day, if your goal is for cheaper singles, this is going to accomplish that better than a previous set. If your goal is to draft with a set, this sucks for you. I'm sorry. You know, that is what it is.
You never got to draft Master sets more than once or
twice
anyway, really.
Exactly, and that's the thing is people don't want it to be drafted. They just want it to lower the prices.
Also, Magic Online has the packs at $7 a piece, so go wild.
Yeah,
but they're non-redeemable.
So you still open, like, a Jace or whatever.
But
they're non-redeemable. Meanwhile, like in 6 months, Wizards is like, wow, Arena's really great. Go suck it.
Yeah, prices on Magic Online are always shitty. Like, that's
we're
just
getting
not...
rid of Magic Online forever.
Prices on Magic Online are always shitty. Like, that's nothing new. Like, you still get the drafting experience of whatever.
If that's what you're in for.
I mean, yeah. My Vintage deck online is, like, I don't know...
Yeah,
15 ticks.
Because nobody plays it.
What is your Vintage deck online? PSMB?
No, Power Surge is not online, unfortunately.
at all?
Unlucky.
No, it's not.
There you go.
No, they never brought it online.
All right.
But no, like, yeah, coming off of Eternal weekend, like, all sorts of crazy Eternal stuff happened, so.
Yeah, I didn't get to follow it because I was covering the Turn 3 Killfest that was Modern in Atlanta, but Eternal weekend looked sweet.
Eternal weekend was cool. I mean, the games were pretty legit.
That time walk. Jesus, that time walk.
The Legacy coverage, I don't think... They haven't posted deck lists yet, so get on that, Card Titan. If anybody from Card Titan hears this, get on that.
I know who ran the coverage. I'll pass it on for you. Don't worry.
All right. But, yeah, the Vintage was great, because, you know, when does Vintage ever get highlighted?
Yeah.
So, and there were a lot of Bazaars in that room. A lot of Bazaars in that room.
I heard a story, maybe you guys know about this, maybe not, and it is just a story. I saw someone on Twitter said that one dealer was bought out of more than $1 million of graded alpha beta stuff.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I feel like if that happened, I would have heard about it.
One person bought $1 million, or?
That.
Like they just moved through it.
Could have been. I mean, it's probably, it could be some crypto. Man, there's some weird stuff with these crypto millionaires.
And
just
a lot
buying
of
weird
crap. A lot of the weird ungraded stuff is retraced a little bit lately. So like,
yeah, I mean that makes sense for a small correction there.
So hey, if we're gonna talk about graded stuff, I think we have the ideal guest this week because Rob buys more graded stuff than anybody I know personally.
I've got some stuff.
Well, I mean, what do you think the if you're somebody who has, and for instance, I have a couple alpha beta cards, nothing crazy. I've sold most of them, but I do have some stuff, and I've recently buy-listed some of it to Card Kingdom. But is it worth it getting it graded if you just have generic alpha beta stuff? Not the top end, but, you know, just something that's worth 50, Hill Giant, or maybe a $40, $50 card out of the set, or a $20 card or something. You think there's
a common is 20 bucks at this point if it's near mint. Like,
yeah.
The commons are insane. So, it's worth grading if you think it's going to grade a 9 or higher. And a lot of that, too, make sure you look at your centering, because that's where I think a lot of people get screwed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've got a lot of stuff that's basically flawless, except it's a little bit off.
That sucks, because there's nothing you can do about that either.
No, and there's nothing you can do about it. And the way that BGS grades is you can only get 1 point higher, like one whole grade higher than your lowest number.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, like, if you have
if you have, like, a 10, 10, 10, 7, that's an 8?
That's an 8.
Oh, yep. That's rough. Ooh. That's rough.
Ooh.
So, like, yeah, there's some stuff that's just not worth grading if it's... make sure it's mint, because also, too, their backlog right now, I've heard, is something like 6 months to a year.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So unless you're
hey, what do they pay? Because I'll go do that.
It's like $8 to get it slammed if you go
Jason's
into like
asking
the normal
about
queue.
A job application.
No, I'm saying I'll Jason go work go for them grade. And help them bust to the.
Jason's gonna drop everything, become a professional grader.
Oh, God, I'll have that nothing. Backlog taken care of in 3 months. I don't sleep, motherfuckers.
Yeah, I recently learned how little Jason sleeps. I assumed he'd got a little more. I just know that I got very little sleep before Ben started daycare. And I think Jason gets less somehow.
Oh, I've been on third shift for like 5 years. I sleep 3 hours a night.
That's crazy, guys.
It's killing me. I don't care.
Don't worry.
I'll sleep when my kids are in college. Actually, I will because I'll be like, oh no.
Well, I hear that
they're banging frat boys.
I hear that as you get older, you need less sleep. So Jason, I guess, has that going for him over me.
Am I a year older than you, or less than a year?
I thought you were both like dinosaurs.
You just sort more cards.
Jason, you're like 35.
I am 34.
Okay,
sir.
You're 4 years older than me.
You're both so
old.
Oh,
no. What?
Oh, my God. I'm the oldest person on the
cast. Oh, get wrecked.
You're killing me.
You had a kid at 30? What was that an accident?
I had a kid at 28, you idiot. My kid is 2.
Oh, my God. Was that an accident? 28? Well, you'd say irresponsible.
I'm an
adult. That's irresponsible. are you?
Things get started a little earlier down Oklahoma.
I'm an adult. Now, if you'll excuse me, I got to end my Magic podcast early to go play Overwatch. Okay, tell me more about what an adult you are.
Anyways, all right. So I asked on Twitter earlier if people had questions about Ultimate Masters they wanted us to address. I think we've hit the main parts without even being too ragey, so go us. Because we all had a very
excuse me, I asked a question too. I asked if you heard the phrase troll dong, would you assume it's a good thing or a bad thing?
And 77% of people said bad thing so far.
77, yeah.
All right, I can power through these questions. How far do you see cards like Goryeo's Vengeance dropping? Like 10-ish, maybe lower.
$2-$10.
Goryeo's gets obliterated.
Yeah, Goryeo's is like...
You mean $2-$10 to verify, correct?
Yes, that card is going to be worthless.
Yeah, that card gets obliterated. I mean, it's predicated on scarcity.
Probably lower than $10. Would you sell the box top or ASAP or long-term? Sell it immediately.
Immediately.
What's the cast guesses on the biggest shit rare / mythic to be in the set?
I liked that. That was a good question.
In the set? Oh, yeah. Boy.
I mean,
it's going to be worse than Lava Claw Reaches.
We know about Dig Through Time. That one's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's not a mythic, though. Yeah, Dig Through Time could be the bulkiest
it's your $14 rare.
I kind of want to say this in here because, like, a lot of the box toppers are not at mythic in the set.
That's
they are
correct.
Rare or uncommon. Yeah. That's a thing, and that's
people
important.
Are acting like the set has 40 mythics. It doesn't. It has 15. Engineered Explosives is rare, and it will go from 80 to, like, 30-something.
I think it has 20 mythics,
I think
DJ.
You're going to get 20 mythics. 20? Yeah.
Okay,
20
whatever,
mythics.
But it's still not all of them. Like, EE's rare.
Yeah, your point stands.
And at least there's going to be at least one cycle at mythic, probably, right?
I mean, we know all the mythics, so no, there's not a white.
And if the uncommons look like Kitchen Finks what's the other?
Eternal
like, Kitchen
Witness?
Finks is, like, $15.
We're going to get Metamorphos for sure. That's a $10 card.
There's no white mythics except for Caracas. I mean, Caracas isn't even mythic, but...
I would assume Lightning Bolt. I would assume...
No, I think Caracas is mythic.
So the worst mythic... Well, we know all the mythics. So the worst rare is probably Dig Through Time. I can't imagine it's anything worse than that. Ooh. That's the ultimate.
Like but Box Top or Siege Rhino would have been sweet.
Okay, here's my question. Is Phyrexian Altar in the set? And if not, why?
It better goddamn
I think
better
it, probably
be.
Not. I think if it wasn't a set, they would have used it as a Box Topper.
Remember when I told those fucking idiots to reprint that card when it was still $22?
If it's not in the set, it's going to be like a $70 card. Easy.
It is a $70 card.
Oh, shit.
All right, so I do want to point this out. There have been some people running the EV, and currently, based on, I want to make sure I get the shout out here correctly. Okay, this website doesn't have a name on it. There we go. Marcus Leben, writing for Cardsphere, ran the numbers and currently calculated if the sheet has 20 mythics and 50 rares onto 121 card sheet, this is an underestimation of the EV. But considering it's not that, and it's, although I think it is, right? But considering the worst case scenario based on what we know so far, this calculation numbers as of today, Monday, November 5th, put the EV of the set a little under $12. And that is not even touching box toppers. Now, again, obviously it's going to come down, but this is also not accounting for
$12 a pack,
uncommons.
Also assuming like $0 value in the unknown commons and uncommons, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so that's like absolute worst case scenario, assuming every other card we get is bulk. This is an average $12 pack.
At this moment.
Yes. With
I'm really assuming that this is going to be cube the set. So, like, I'm guessing they're juicing that.
Yeah, we're getting, like, Lava Spike. Sure we're getting Metamorphose, probably. We're probably getting, like...
Yeah. Oh. This is going to be so fun to draft.
Yeah.
So, all right, so here's a real question now. So, if you're holding any of this stuff, when do you decide to buy listed
DJ
or
and
sell
I had
out?
A conversation about this yesterday. We just counted. We have 30 Cavernous Souls in my store.
You have 30. Don't loop me into this. I didn't.
No, I said we
okay,
talked
so
about it.
Okay, when,
it.
When do you drop
you
the
said
price
we.
On,
I
as
said
a
we
retailer,
talked about
when you drop
I
the price?
I shamed you for having 30 Cavernous Souls.
You did. DJ did shame me properly for having 30 Caverns.
Your price is too high if you're sitting on 30 Caverns.
No, the price isn't too high. The price is market
no,
price.
No, he just doesn't know how to sell cards.
Well, then the people in your store aren't paying market price.
Doesn't know how to sell cards at a GP, and it tilted me yesterday.
It did tilt DJ because we had this conversation about how I just focus on buying cards at the store, and I just keep buying cards and buying cards, and I don't worry so much about selling them. I just let the store do that, which is how we end up with, like...
Ooh, that is me as hell.
I was about to say, that's how I am as a person and a collector, but that doesn't help me in the long run.
I spend a couple grand a month on cards, and I haven't listed some of them in weeks.
Yeah, that's why we had 30 Cavernous Souls, so oops.
That's why I have a box of Japanese Dragon's Maze sitting to the right.
Dude, that's
of me.
The other that's the other reason I love people talking about. Like, I think somebody tweeted. Box
of, no. What? You have a box of Japanese Dragon's Maze. Didn't we just shame someone for
getting
a box
a case,
of Japanese
Jason.
Dragon Maze? No, they bought a case.
I don't have a case.
The person who
sent
the original
box.
Email was like, "Oopsie, I got drunksies and bought a case of Japanese Dragon's Maze."
Yeah, but he probably paid 120 yen, which is like $12.
Yeah.
Like...
No, for Jason, for as long as I've known you, I've been doing the case cracking thing. Like, you know, I've got tons of sealed stuff, and none of it's worth a damn.
Yeah, but it's fun to draft. Okay, it's got social value here.
I remember us splitting a case. Oh, excuse me, sir. Rob, I remember us splitting a case of original Ravnica three ways.
Yeah, we did, and it was great. That was like total money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got all the plague boilers I needed to go fucking 2-7 at that event.
Oh, God, I still have a ripped apart plague boiler in my binder from one of the guys at the shop getting pissed that he opened it and
nice.
He tore it in half. And
that's
I just
awesome.
I don't know why I have it.
You don't.
Great.
You keep stuff like that. Any ripped in half card is a story, and you keep stories in your binder.
All right,
Jason, I thought you were going
to
shame my guy.
Probably listens to the cast.
Oh well, you're going to those cards aren't ripped up. They're just they've seen better
no,
days.
No, and shame on you for not for playing with that alpha stuff. You're insane.
Yeah, that is somewhat
whatever.
Insane, but I like it. All right.
That's
well, the centering's a little off, so it's
yeah,
not going to get
still
graded
like
above a 9.
Centering's off. Centering's off, so it's worth it. Do it.
Oh, God, that's
the centering's off, so just play it on sleeve.
All right, so here's another question.
Rob, I don't use a playmat.
Go ahead.
I don't care about the playmat.
Doesn't use
like,
a playmat.
Use a Brainstorm
no, like,
Brewery playmat.
Play
if you're
I'll
a patron.
The soul ring on asphalt.
Yeah, like Richard Garfield intended.
That's what I mean by I don't use it. I'll play it on plywood. I don't care.
First of all,
don't be a savage
use,
like DJ.
Real men use calls.
Don't be a savage. Go
mats.
To.
Woo. Nice. Plug.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice
get
plug.
That. Get that.
No,
brain
no, no,
games,
no, no, no. If you want a mat, go to patreon.com/brainstormbrewery. Subscribe at the $20 level. You will get a Brainstorm Brewery play mat designed by Matty Studios. You don't have to be a poor playing with no mat like DJ with his jacked up cards.
Actually, Jason, do you still have that Brain Games mat? Like the super old school one?
Oh, yeah, I do have that.
Okay, that's like a $700 mat.
Woo.
In good shape. Mine's not in good shape.
It doesn't matter. Like, okay, so, great, I'm on the cast. Let me talk about this anyway.
Yeah, do it.
Incidental stuff that you get while picking up collections is worth, like, a lot of money.
This rabbit hole is so dangerous.
It is so dangerous, but... Like,
this is how you end up with 300 Fat Pack boxes in your office.
Innistrad M&Ms.
I'm not talking about Fat Pack boxes. I'm talking like marketing stuff, like vinyl banners and crap.
I have like
God, that hey, remember we went to that random shop in Lansing by Trippers and like we were just buying stuff and the dude had that like mat with the copper plate, the time spiral.
What is Trippers?
It was a game store or it was a bar.
It was a poker room / comedy club in Lansing.
Okay,
anyway,
just checking.
Rob took me to this obscure shop I never would have found on my own. He's like, yeah, let's go buy. And the dude had a bunch of kobolds at Care Keep. And I bought a bunch of kobolds for a quarter each, which was great. And then he had this binder that was like leather and it had a copper plate that said Time Spiral in it. And I paid $20 for it. And it turns out that thing is like super money, but I didn't take care of it. I used that as my binder for years. And it got all cut up.
You're an idiot.
It's worth nothing now. Like, if all the stuff I've randomly bought because I thought it was cool and then used and is all jacked up, like, was money if I just kept it sealed.
I have some of these boxes that Wizards sent out with stuff in the late 90s, and they're just basically one row boxes.
Yeah.
1K boxes.
Yeah, there's. Are you talking about the ones that have the
got
moxes and stuff on them?
Maybe. I don't remember the arts. I actually
no, those
didn't
they,
know some of the arts.
They didn't send those out. They sold those everywhere. I got the blue one.
Yeah.
Those are very...
In a Florida
GameStop. Yeah, they're worth money. That was the point. So I have them at my house just chilling, but I don't know what to do with them. Like, it's, I just don't want to list stuff on eBay and ship it. So this is the rabbit hole, man. I have rule books from like 4th edition.
I was selling revised deck boxes for like $5.
I think the rule books that are valuable are Alpha, Beta, Unlimited.
Oh, man, they're like worth $3 or $4. The rabbit hole's so dangerous.
Alpha, I think, is worth $50 to $100.
You have access to GPs and Facebook groups.
You want my my rule books, bro?
No, I'm saying you can get on the Facebook group for vintage collectors, and half those people go to every GP, and then you're like, hey, I have these old boxes. I'll be at every GP. Hit me up, and then you sell them.
That's a good idea, DJ. I should do that.
I'm not saying go buy it. I'm saying sell it if you've got it incidentally, because I buy that crap, and I want more of it on the market.
Yeah.
What do you want, Rob? You should just come by my house.
Yeah, Rob, sure I got plenty of old, useless stuff for you.
Well, next time I'm in Oklahoma, which is probably never because it's Oklahoma.
You know what else?
I'll make sure to
come to the GP.
I'll make sure to have that happen.
Should we have GP? Should the Brainstorm Brewery party be GP Oklahoma City next year?
No, it should be a GP Detroit. I'm gonna rep GP Detroit.
GP Niagara Falls.
Okay, good suggestions.
That's
everybody.
That's within a. I can drive to there. That's fine.
Good suggestions for sure.
Detroit, people don't want to go to Detroit, and it's dumb because Atlanta is worse than people pretend Detroit is.
I think Atlanta's fine, buddy.
Atlanta's
right
a toilet.
I am in the suburbs of Atlanta, and it's perfectly fine.
Guess what? No one ever said to me in Detroit, hey, you white boys probably want to take a taxi or you're going to get shot. That was never said to me in Detroit. We stayed in a hotel for GP Atlanta that had an armed guard. Like, there was a fence around the place. Yeah.
Detroit was
it was walking distance.
I actually learned about this. I talked to somebody from Atlanta about this recently, like this weekend, and they were telling me that Atlanta is divided up into two cities because the city is basically, it has a highway that just forms a complete loop around it, right? And then the suburbs are outside. And he was telling me that the two just don't mingle. If you go to the inside, right, if you go into the inside of the loop, you're inside the loop. And then he said, if you go OTP, which he defined as outside the perimeter, you had to have a whole new social circle. It was a whole different – it was just a different place, and that this loop of the highway surrounding the city.
So you're saying your friend's down with OTP?
I just say
Corbin,
why
are you in Atlanta? Let's drive the bus here.
We're driving the bus here? I wish I had driven a bus here. I took a flight, and it took 13 hours.
Why would you want to take a bus from Oklahoma to Atlanta?
Because it
would
have got me here faster than the flights did. It was a disaster flying out here. I'm here for the Pro Tour. We're going to play standard.
All right.
Dude, so you would still be on a bus, and you'd be itchy if you're taking a bus.
What about standard?
What should we be looking out for in standard this week?
Lich's
Mastery? Is that
deck? If you're not Allie and Tracy... You're not playing
that
deck, dude. I've seen so many people shit their pants playing that deck.
Second mark. It's about time to wrap it up.
That's it. Yeah. I will tell you that Ollie is certainly, I know for a fact, not the only person who might be playing it at the Pro Tour. And it's just very
possible. People on the Pro Tour are the only people that should be. If you're at FNM, you're like, I'm ready. Let's just, congrats. You went to time every round and you lost game one. And it took you 68 minutes to lose game one.
That's not how long rounds are.
Fucking
Jason.
Idiot. Stop 50 it.
Minutes.
No. Five turns.
Five
takes
turns
18
took
18 minutes.
Minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah, Corbin.
If they're playing KCI.
Guess who's playing Magic again?
Oh,
it's this guy.
And you and Ryan both. I have to hear it from both of you. It's the worst. That said, I do have a standard.
Hey, man.
Deck. I put
Beta
Lance.
Hey, you know what? If
deck.
You can, if you're the kind of person that can send a DM to Ray Perez and get deck advice, why would you not take advantage?
I agree.
So.
I've done the same. it's nice to have cheat codes like that.
Yep. So I'm playing a little bit
of
Magic again.
For, like,
I'm dipping my toes
in. But you don't message me about like GP hot list the day before. Fuck yourself.
Look, man. I feel like I have explained myself fairly well in that I clearly have been remiss about how many Magic cards I sell, because my goal is to own all the Magic cards, not to sell all the Magic
Your
cards. I mean, I want
to
do that too.
Expert
but I'm more interested in just owning them all.
Here, everybody.
Actually, this is, I don't know if I've said this on the cast before.
I contacted the guys on Card Hoarder about getting the Card Hoarder Twitter name, because that's what I want to.
I always tell
I
people,
that Twitter
I
name.
Always just tell people that they are one emergency away from all their cards returning to their rightful home of me.
That's... And what do you want emergency away? Didn't you have a flood?
Aren't you having another baby? Like,
famous.
Your fridge is gonna. You bought a bad fridge. That's gonna.
Who needs money one of these days?
You're gonna have to. You're gonna have to sell all your expensive cars and buy a new fridge one of these days. Like,
all right, I got another question coming from Tom Barr here on Twitter. What is the ideal MSRP for a
Master
Set?
Whoa, wait a minute. Does this guy follow me? Check and see if he follows me. If he doesn't,
he follows you, Jason.
What is the ideal MSRP? What's his Twitter name? Master Set. It depends. Like, there isn't one.
Okay.
They don't know yet. We don't know. No, there's not enough data. They've done three Master Sets,
Like, this might be the best Master Set of all time. So, like, 14.
Okay. It was an interesting question, 14. Given that DJ said earlier he doesn't think this is the breaking point. So I did think what the ideal MSRP for Master Set is. But like I said, I said this on Twitter earlier, too. I think it remains to be seen. And while I tend to agree with DJ on this, we don't know for sure, that I think in terms of making Magic as a whole, or modern, or whatever we're talking about, more accessible to players in terms of price of singles, I think that this might just be better for that than any previous Master Set. And I think that at some point, the MSRP, I mean, it matters, but it only matters, like, it obviously matters, but I think it maybe matters less than the value of the cards in there and the number of cards that get reprinted. Yes. So I think, like, I agree with DJ, but we don't have enough data to know this for sure yet. But I do think that it's true. That's just going to be very good for singles prices for players.
Can we do Breaking Bulk yet?
Sure, man.
Breaking Bulk time. Breaking Bulk time. Break.
Oh, yeah, Breaking Bulk. There's so much good stuff.
It's a pick. Breaking Bulk. The end.
Breaking Bulk time. Breaking Bulk. Bulk. Breaking Bulk.
That was a very, very good story.
Bulk.
Thank God we have you.
Breaking Bulk.
All right, I'm going to go first. This should be easy.
Hey, Corbin.
Yes, Jason.
Breaking Bulk.
Thank you for that.
I only had a 120. Can you guys imagine if I drank that whole growler?
That weeder?
Dude, I'm on my second beer.
I don't know. Can you podcast?
Oh, shit. Okay, hang on. I will go crack another beer.
Can you podcast from the ICU?
Yeah, I cracked the barrel. I went barrel runner.
Look, dude. Rob introduced me to his own particular brand of sangria that he makes with moonshine that you can only get in Kentucky because they don't make 180 proof moonshine in Michigan. They only do 151. You got to go to Kentucky to get the good shit. I was raised from a 22-year-old on Rob Sangria.
Jason's been training his body to be alcoholic for years. That's what he's telling me.
Yep. Exactly.
Many years, and given how old you are.
My fucking sensei is on this podcast with me. So if I'm going to go down from some beer.
And whatever.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to go down from some beer in front of Rob fucking Weathers. So let me go get another beer. And you do your Breaking Bulk.
All right, man, I'll do my Breaking
Bulk.
This should be easy, but it's just one of those PSA things. It is a Rivals of Ixalan Blue Uncommon.
Siren
no,
Storm
that's
team?
Ixalan.
No.
It's the Curious Obsession.
It is Curious Obsession. For those who don't know, this stupid, and this is actually kind of an interesting case study in the way Magic card prices work. But so the Mono Blue Standard deck, the tempo deck that Gabe Nassif top aided the GP with, it's been a thing for about a month. But it's a budget deck. It's like $100. But it was actually kind of bad, right, at the beginning. It was sort of a deck before rotation, and now it's like still kind of a deck. And if not Nassif, maybe, you know, you're not going to do well with it. But regardless, it was a budget deck. So it's interesting, anytime you see a budget deck, cards quickly become not budget. And even, think how wild it is to have a $3 market price card, uncommon, in 2018. And that's what Curious Obsession is. And that is a function of how cheap the deck as a whole is. The value has to go somewhere, because if it is cheap, Magic players will just build it. So, like I said, it's just an interesting, because, you know, we talk all the time about how it's impossible to have $3 rares or whatever in 2018 because of just the way the printing works now, post-mythic era and all that. But we have $3 uncommon, same with Siren Storm Tamer. It's just all because a budget deck, enough people build cheap decks that they are going, the money's going to go somewhere, and it's gone to these uncommons.
Yep.
So just a PSA to look through your old Rivals of Ixalan stuff if you ever manage to draft that and not hate yourself.
Oh, man, like, if you can go through Rivals of Ixalan stuff every month, and there'll be new stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too bad.
Because I comb through that stuff all. I go through my quote unquote boxes of pick bulk, and man, some of the stuff I missed just because it was a nickel a couple months ago, and it's like a dollar now. It's really crazy. Yeah. Because it just seems like that rival, that Ixalan block stuff, it's really perking up now, and it's surprising.
It's delayed standard reaction because it was all just so unplayable before rotation because it was just. Yeah. Entire format was just dominated by Kaladesh block.
No one was doing fair stuff back then, and now it's like, oh yeah, you can play a.
I mean, yeah, it's like it's even
less. You can play a 2-mana 1/3, and then you can just spend the rest of the game just exploring.
Right? Yeah, it's just very. It's a whole new format in a way that we haven't had before. And Ixalan came out a year ago, but in terms of standard, the vast majority of the cards never really had a chance until now, and that's why you've seen a lot of movement on stuff. And Standard's great right now, for the record. Standard is really fun.
Oh, yeah. All right. I don't
Jason,
hate it.
What's your breaking bulk?
And I don't even play Magic. Okay, I have an uncommon that is red from Invasion.
Sheevan Harvest.
Nope. That was your pick a week ago, and I nailed it. It's an instant, not an enchantment.
Tribal Flame.
That's a common.
That's not an uncommon.
I was close. Is it a common?
Also, Tribal Flames is a sorcery.
Yeah, Corbin, it's not Tribal Flames for so many reasons.
Is it from Invasion?
Is it Breath of Daring?
Oh, it is from Invasion. I did it. Get out of here. That's all that matters to me. You thought I was trying to name
it's
the card.
It's not Breath of Darragaz. Breath of Darragaz is common.
I wasn't trying to name the card. I was just trying to guess if that was the right set it came
the
from.
The card is over a dollar as an uncommon from Invasion.
Interesting.
For a very specific reason.
Over a dollar where?
On the internet.
On card
is Keldon Firebombers uncommon?
Keldon Firebombers is rare.
Is that?
From like what's Prophecy,
that?
Right?
That's a rare.
You said it's red?
The card is Chaotic Strike. You probably don't even know what it does.
I know that it's 30 cents.
Play
on
Chaotic Strike
player.
Only during... Play Chaotic Strike only...
This is not a dollar.
During combat, after blockers are declared.
It's 30
you
cents,
can't just
man.
Say that
get
card...
off Card Kingdom.
It's over Buck of Rare Kingdom. That's all I care about. Oh, maybe I should get off their buy list where it's like 30 cents on the buy
well,
list.
That's great,
you can just
man.
Arbitrage
that's a
these fucking
thing
things.
Cite, but it's not a
yeah,
it's
retail. Like the actual buy list price. Don't just.
I'm not going to look up the buy list price. Anyway, this is cards worth picking out of bulk. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree
fucks?
With that, Jason. I didn't know this, so thank you for bringing this one to my attention.
You fucks. This is a coin flip card. Okun and Zinder Split. Came along and made a bunch of weird cards expensive. This is one of them. It says flip a coin, so hey, there you go. It made the card, it made like one of the Mercanian Masks rares like $12 or some shit like that. Like, flip a coin is just, it's a thing now.
It
like,
because,
and like, I pulled a shitload of Chaotic Strikes out of bulk that I bought from the LGS because they were just like a nickel. Like a year ago.
And
so,
the other thing to keep in mind with stuff huzzah. Like this is if you pull it and it's not even on a buy list right now, Jason's right. Flip a coin is just a thing. And when we, even if it you don't get a good price on it on a buy list or it falls off a buy list or whatever right now, this is just one of those for the spec box or the long term box or whatever you want to call it. And 2 years from now, 3 years from now, when the next unset comes out and they go with a flip a coin theme or something stupid and they include Pokemon coins in the packs. This will be $5. You know, it's that sort of thing. Anything that's really heavily tied to a mechanic like that.
And a unique mechanic. And right. It's like, yeah. So, like, even shitty cards like Aleatory, like Fiery Gambit went up, Chance Encounter went up above $10. Puppet's Verdict, you know, hit $5. Like, there's... Remember Frenetic Efreet was like $25 for like a day and a half? Like... Even stuff like Creepy Doll went up.
Oh,
like,
that's reserved it, list.
What is?
Frenetic Efreet.
Yeah. But Frenetic Efreet's not actually the most expensive card coin flip card by far. Like, Chance Encounter's $11 on Card Kingdom. Puppet's Verdict is worth more than Frenetic Efreet right now. Like,
Chance
it's,
Encounter's like
there's all kind of stuff.
$3 buy list, though. It's like $2 or $3 buy list.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
Card Kingdom retail is not a real price point.
Sure,
neither
but it's
is your
is
mom.
Expensive, and that's a fair point.
Yep. So even just like some of that stuff is like, I was about to bulk out that card because I didn't even know what it did, but I pulled it out of bulk just because it said flip a coin, and then I looked it up and I was like, oh, okay,
nice find.
Shit. Yep. There's all kind of anything that's like real specific to a mechanic, maybe just don't bulk it out.
Yep.
I can bulk out stuff that's been like fog. You know, I'll bulk out a fog because, like, well, it's been printed 49 times. But, like, some of the stuff that's, like, really unique to a mechanic, I tend to try to rescue from bulk and just put it in the long-term spec box. So this is something you definitely don't want to bulk out because it's 2 cents on TCG Player and it's $7 on Card Kingdom.
All right. So there you go. DJ Rob, what do you guys got?
I'll go. I've got a black uncommon from Eldritch Moon creature.
Vampire Cutthroat.
It is. It's Vampire Cutthroat.
Is that the Skulk card?
Yeah. Yeah. It's Skulk Lifelink for one black.
But it's like the one black creature from that set. That's what
it's about 75 cents retail, depending on where you look, but like it's easily buy listable for 25 or 30 cents. Like you can pick them.
I love
Eldritch
Moon as a set.
There's so much good stuff.
It's just Eldritch Evolution is one of my favorite cards for one. I like the evolved mechanic. I just love that set.
Unban Pod. Until they unban Pod, it's all Eldritch Evolution.
Eldritch Evolution is low-key broken.
I don't even know if you... some of the decks that are running Eldritch Evolution right now in Modern, I don't even think you'd want Pod. Pod seems slow compared to...
I want Eldritch Evolution.
Because it's a 2X. It's a 2X upgrade. So you're just like, bam, right from 3 to 5, you're up in their face.
Yeah, and it takes 3 mana instead of 4 mana and 4 life for like Pod. I mean, it's just a good... It's just an insane card.
It might also be a little bit of... It might be playable in Legacy. I haven't exactly found
out
yet.
It's a lot worse against Force.
In a Nickfit type build?
Oh, absolutely. That's my deck.
It could be good Nickfit.
You take, Veteran Explorer into, another Reliquary or something?
Yeah, it's more like you go for the 2-drop into Arena Rector, or Academy Rector, or Arena Rector, and then go super broken.
Also, Eldritch Moon has so many expensive cards in it for a set from this era that has rotated from Standard.
That no one gave a shit about.
Actually, right?
You might even actually still be able to get the boxes on Amazon for like $95.
I mean, it's just, I'm going to name you guys a couple cards here, and these are just modern staples. Obviously Liliana, but Collective Brutality, Grimflare, Spell Queller, Selfless Spirit, Bedlam Reveler. These are all just Thalia, Heretic Cathar. Like, there's just a lot of modern, actual staple, very powerful cards from this set. Actually, this is one of my favorite sets for, like, you know, the next 5 years or whatever. Plus, it's just sweet.
I mean, actually, the boxes might be worth it. The boxes on Amazon right now are $115.
What are they on Dong Layer?
I don't understand why you keep thinking that I'm mispronouncing that when you're obviously just mishearing it. But
all right, DJ, say it right now.
The EV of an Eldritch Moon box is $42.
On what site? He's a Dong Layer.
I won't lie, man. It did kind of sound like Dong Layer.
I heard Dong Lair.
Alright, yeah.
The EV of an Eldritch Moon...
No woman has ever escaped from my Dong Lair!
The EV of an Eldritch Moon box is $42 CCG low, whereas Ixalan's like 64, so pass on Eldritch Moon boxes.
I do not like Dong Lair for EV.
Why not?
Way. I know it's where everyone goes, but it takes...
Because they don't take anything
into
account.
It takes so many things out of account, which it does to try to... Like,
which is how you get an expected value, because otherwise you just, like, you can't...
Their expected value calculations discount things more than other people's expected value calculations.
It just doesn't...
It's fine. It's
literally
not the, end of
the
world.
Only
I'm
things
just,
that
just
discounts...
Put it on MTG Goldfish, it's like every basic land's a
the
dollar.
The only things that doesn't count are cards worth less than a dollar and foils. That's it.
Yeah, but like, foils add EV. It's not maybe a ton, but it is something.
Okay, so add $1 for
You're
foils.
You're gonna get...
75 cent cards at EV.
Oh boy.
This is not that relevant. Let's move on.
I went out of this layer.
I'm sorry. I wandered into the Dong Lair. I'm sorry. Rescue me.
Rescue me from the Troll Dong Lair.
Also, Imprisoned in the Moon. Has anybody ever made this their pick of the week? I'm looking at...
I've known that card's $2. It's been that way for a while.
Yeah, this card is sweet in Commander.
It's a
TLDR,
blue,
Corbin finds out about cards that spiked 6 months after on a finance podcast. Anyway.
I'm not talking about it spiking. I'm just mentioning it as another sweet card in the set. Get out of here, you child.
It might be as good as Song of the Dryad or Darksteel Bug, but...
I'm glad someone else calls it Darksteel Bug.
Yeah.
I only started that because I listened to this cast. I have no idea what the name of that card is.
It's Darksteel
Bug. Mutation.
I like Darksteel Bug. Also,
Darksteel Bug sounds like the name of a deck that Corbin named.
What?
Because someone played Sultai and he's like, it's Darksteel Bug. Sultai Midrange is what it'll end up being called.
We named The Rock this weekend. You should be proud. Because Solmaka was playing it, the creator of The Rock. So we actually started the weekend calling it Black Green Midrange.
You didn't call it Obzon Midrange?
No, we started the weekend calling it Black Green Midrange. And as soon as Solmaka was 8-0, we were like, nope, it's The Rock for the rest of the weekend.
Can you smell what The Rock is cooking? Oh, a bunch of shitty movies. Cool.
I love Rock.
Because that's what he does now.
The Tooth Fairy was great.
What?
The Tooth Fairy was great.
I watched Rampage, and it was kind of fun.
Oh, shut up.
No, Rampage was terrible.
Come on, the Tooth Fairy?
Yeah, the Tooth Fairy was good.
It's a poor man's Mighty Ducks.
What?
Why? See, you always bring up the third best hockey movie of all time. I don't understand.
What's one?
Okay. Number one is Slapshot, okay, and number two is Youngblood. Everybody knows that.
It's not even close.
I agree. What's two?
Not Youngblood.
Oh, okay.
No, Sudden Death.
Okay.
Well. Sudden Death? Yes. With Jean-Claude Van Damme and Powers Booth.
I will fill your mouth
little
with spiders,
girl. Fill your mouth with spiders.
Okay. There you go.
Fuck yeah.
Anyways, all right.
It was Jean-Claude Van Damme. It was the Blackhawks versus the Penguins playing in a Stanley Cup final. They didn't play in because the Blackhawks got dismantled the year before that movie came out.
No, and he's not even a cop. He's a firefighter.
But he can roundhouse people.
That's pretty
funny. Can play goalie for some reason.
That's pretty good, actually.
He just wore the pads. Yeah. Oh,
all
fuck.
Right, well.
Sudden
DJ, did you go yet? Has somebody gone? Let's do
my
this.
Breaking
Come
bulk
on.
Pick.
You just don't want to talk about hockey movies from the 90s, and that's bullshit. Didn't your grandfather invent hockey or some shit?
My grandfather worked in
the
NHL.
We have reached the point of Jason's inebriation where we should probably tuck him into bed. So my Breaking Bulk is also
ahead.
From Eldritch Moon. It is a rare card, and the Card Kingdom buy list is 80 cents. If I give away anything else, it gives it away.
It's a rare?
My Breaking Bulk is a rare from Eldritch Moon also, and it is...
You can't tell us a name on
the
it?
The Card Kingdom...
Imprisoned
no,
in the
Card
moon.
Kingdom buy price is 80 cents, and it is a casual card.
Splendid Reclamation.
It has 12,000 decks on EDH Trick, and I got this Breaking Bulk courtesy of our old editor, Matt, who I got to meet this weekend.
Sigarda's Aid.
No.
Anna Fenza.
No. Anna Fenza is a Cons of Tarkir card, so...
Yeah, that...
I'm just throwing that out there for our Discord.
80... How many cents
is
it?
Splendid Reclamation.
This card's only printing. It's just from Eldritch Moon. It's a rare...
What's...
Splendid,
no,
Reclamation.
Splendid Reclamation.
I'm out then. I don't know.
Gaia Reach Sanitarium.
Is it really?
Gaia
cool.
Reach Sanitarium has a buy price of 80 cents. The TCG market.
And it's a dollar retail.
Yep.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, this card's just.
That's a low spread, motherfucker.
I don't think it's a pick. I don't think you just buy them at like an aggressive amount. It's just a card you ship to Card Kingdom. That's it. But like,
yeah.
Matt's been talking about this card for a while. He has like 30 foils, which I think is a poor decision. It's
DJ hates everything.
The foils are cool, though. The foils are sweet.
It's just a card that you ship out, and it's something that I thought was a bulk rare. He brought it up to me in Atlanta, and I was like, that's a bulk rare. He's like, nope, they pay a lot of money on it.
I mean, it was a bulk rare a year ago. It's not now. It's kind of
Didn't
cool.
Metallica make a shitty song called Sanitarium?
Nobody knows. All right, I've got another question here before we go from UMA for somebody. Bruno asked us this on Twitter. As a high-end collector, my main question would be, when is the best time to buy some of the masterpieces? The set is weird, but I'm not sure if I should wait for the prices to tank a bit. I would wait.
Oh, yeah, they're going to be very... I think they're going to be way
I can't
more
verify
common.
Bruno's following me on Twitter, so I can't answer that question.
The screen's
is he a patron?
Wavy. He can't even tell. The screen's just like...
All right. So, everybody, if you're wondering where Pick of the Week is, we went a little long this week. So we did do them, though. They're on the spreadsheet, which you can access if you're a patron. Anything else you guys want to touch on before we get out of here this week? All right. Rob, thanks for coming on, man. Anything else you want to say? Where can people find you and all that good stuff?
I'm available on Twitter at at the Imperial Jawa, and that's about it.
All right.
So,
Imperial Jawas can be this precise.
I'm also, exactly, and I'm also on the Discord as Dwight Fry.
All right, there you go, everybody. Well,
you
and
have
the,
zero
actually,
tweets.
You know, and if you see me on the Reddit as Tim Prodigal Sorcerer, that's who I am on the Reddit. So.
Good to know.
I'm your only follower on Twitter right now, and you have zero tweets. Why even give us your Twitter? Your Twitter might as well not exist.
No, it might as well not. I just follow a million people. So
I mean, some people use Twitter that way, but there you go.
You've been on Twitter for 2 years, and you have no. I'm your only follower.
That's impressive.
That's actually, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm going to block him as soon as we get done with this. I'm going to block him because reasons.
You should. That's.
I was the first person you followed. You followed me before you followed Mark Rosewater.
Jesus.
That's adorable.
Anyways.
Aw.
Everybody, this is your UMA episode of Brainstorm Brewery. May we never have to talk about it again, but I'm sure we will. Thanks for listening. We'll see you all next week where we can talk Standard from the Pro Tour, everyone's favorite.
I don't care for Standard.
DJ is pumped. I know it.
I'm going to skip next week.
I would love it if you skipped a week, DJ.
See you in 2 weeks, DJ.